In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Christ is risen from the dead, and he has ascended into the heavens. And the disciples, now when we read, are being prepared by the Lord. There's always separation and anxiety when you love someone. There's always. And the Lord was very deliberate in trying to say, I want you to be in peace. All of the narrative that we have ends in what he said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. This is the most important thing. When the Lord, after his resurrection, came to the disciples who were cowered in a room before the difficulties that they thought were about to fall upon them, he entered the room saying, peace. To be in peace, what does it mean? There's so few people that ever live in peace. You can have a person sitting in a room, or put them on a nice little knoll above a meadow, and under the shade of a tree, and a soft breeze is blowing, and the sky is blue, and the temperature is 72 degrees. And you think, what could be more peaceful than that? But what's going on between the ears of that person? What anxieties does that person have? How many things are just roiling around like a boiling pot of water? You don't know, do you? So to offer someone peace means to offer them a way at the same time that these things internally are upsetting them, saying, it's not an unusual thing. You know, our world has become so wimpy, it's almost, for me, someone who has lived as long as I have, it's not the same world at all. People are so weak. You can take a pencil and hit somebody on the head and they will fall down and die. They're so weak. And why? Because they think, through all of the process of being on different devices or just in the hotline of a gossip flow, that it's going to change something for them. If people are saying good things about me, oh, I feel great. And people are criticizing me and they're harsh and they're miserable. Oh, I feel lousy. Why? What changed materially? Just your perception of how you feel amongst those people. Well, guess what? Leave them. Leave them. Don't be around them anymore. Shut them off if it's through electronic media. Why would you listen? But this is the real disease of our age. And we're so careful about what we say. Oh, you can't say this word. I was telling a guy the other day, a guy that likes to eat. I said, there's this great movie with Dom DeLuise. It's called Fatso. You couldn't even have a movie come out today that said Fatso. Huh, fat? Huh, are you fat shaming? What can we do about that? Well, let's get rid of you. This fat's fine. Except now you have Ozempic and all the previously fat people are a lot thinner than they used to be. But the point that I'm making is that where does peace come from? Think about where does your peace come from? Because somebody has given you a degree? Do you know what a degree is when you go to school? It means you are just like us. That's all it means. You are just like us. You've come to us and we've filled you with ourselves. You're just like us. Well, do you look at them? Look at them. Do you really want to be them? Is that it? Well, somebody said, well, it's just a means to an end. I want to make money. Money's what I want. I want money. Oh, I see now. If you don't have much money, you're going to feel lousy. If you have a lot of money, you're going to feel great. If you have a lot of money and then you lose it, you'll be suicidal. What is it that brings you peace? What is it that brings you stability? Now, we're talking about something entirely different. The Lord is trying to introduce his disciples to his Father. And he's trying to say to them, you love me, I know you, I feel your love, and I love you. And because of this love that we share with each other, the Father loves you as well. And I want you to ask whatever it is that you need in my name. Now, there's a line in here that says, ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. He's speaking this in a particular way. Do you know the difference between a child who is bad, a bad child who is a runaway, and a bad child who is lost? And the difference is this: the runaway is happy, he's running, and the lost child wants to find the way back home. He wants to go home. He just doesn't know how to get there. It's so easy to convert someone who says, I'm lost. I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know the song? To be lost means you don't know what to do, but you have plenty of ideas when you're a runaway. You know how many mothers come to me and say, my child is so and so and so, but he's got a good heart. No, he doesn't. He has a lousy, crummy, rotten heart. And if he had a good heart at all, he would see your pain and he would respond to your pain. But he doesn't have a good heart. He has a lousy, rotten, crummy heart. People have to stop trying to spin things based on, I want to feel good. And feeling has replaced being. Being is what you are. Being is your essence. And the Lord is trying to show the disciples the essence of who he is and where he is going to go. And the disciples are so befuddled. They don't get it at all. He says, I'm going to the Father. And then one of them says to him, oh, now you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Do you know why people use figures of speech? Because certain concepts are so difficult, because we do not have a single means that we can concretely show an example of that is going to be identical to the thing and the proposition that we want to teach. For example, we talk about the Lord's divinity and the Lord's flesh. What do we use as that example? The red hot iron. Heat is not a property of iron. Iron is not a property of heat. But when you have a red hot iron, you cannot remove one from the other. And so when the iron is bent, you say, okay, the iron is bent. Did it affect the heat at all to bend the iron? No. So when the Lord was suffering in the flesh, his divinity was not touched. His divinity was intact, like the fire. That's not adequate. We say, well, explain the Trinity to me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, look at your index finger. It has three knuckles. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God. Look how that works together. This finger works. But it's not adequate. These are not adequate things. Do you understand? And people that don't want to use themselves to delve into the mysteries of the Lord, which takes prayer. So few people pray. So few people pray every day. When you pray, it's a list of I want, I want, I want, or remove me that from me, or take that away from me, or it's like, I'm going to somehow find a way to get you to usher in good for the people that I love and to prevent the people that are bad from hurting the ones that I love. Why don't people have their prayers answered? Why aren't generally, it says here, you know, that it's going to be answered. It says, until now you've asked nothing in my name, ask, and you will receive. Ask, and you will receive. So why don't you receive when you pray? Well, because you're corrupt. Because you're not pure. You're asking from a motive that is selfish. What do we say about St. Paul? St. Paul, right? How many times did he pray, asking that this thorn be removed from his flesh, and the Lord didn't do it? Why? Because the thing that St. Paul was complaining about was a thing that was put in him so that he would not be so puffed up by his own excellence. So he was helping Paul to remain humble. And sometimes the things that make you humble are the things that you want to be away from. Look, it's humiliating if you take a class and you get a C. It's humiliating. In my career as a student, I had two C's. Two. One was in field biology, and one was in, I can remember this forever. It was a class where it's called intercultural communication. And I had a 93 in the class. I had a 93, but I didn't read the fine print. I was, however arrogant you think I am now, I was like by a factor of 10 more arrogant. So in this class it said if you get a grade, you're graded by how many times you attend the class. The class was so dull, so boring, and so simple that I didn't attend class. I got an F. That was 15% of my grade. That took my grade from 93 down to 78. And I got a C. And I was livid. But who was I angry with? Me, not him. He handed out the syllabus and it was written down there. I didn't pay attention. I looked the syllabus and I got the books and I did the reading and I did all the stuff. And I acquitted myself well on the test. The other C that I got was in field biology. I didn't turn something in a timely way, and the professor wouldn't give any wiggle room. That was also on me. But those were the only, and I'm telling you these things today. Do you know how long ago that was? It's 55 years ago. But I'm still humiliated by those two C's. You know, for the entire college career. Why? Because I did something that prevented me from being where I should have been. Okay, when I say you're corrupted by the kinds of things that you want, and you have an emotional attachment on the things that you want. I want my kid to get in this school. I want my kid to do this, or I want my husband to do this, or my... If it's a woman that's talking, the woman is usually talking about somebody else. Women typically are not as selfish as men are, but women always ask for improvement on other people. They hardly ever ask improvement for themselves. That's one thing. The second reason why you don't get your prayer answered is because if the Lord would answer your prayer, it wouldn't help the person that is, as I described, the runaway. It doesn't make any difference. You can pray. You can pray for, I don't know, who's the guy that shot the guy from the insurance company? You know, he's a good-looking Italian kid. You can pray for him all you want to. It's finished. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your, you know. The third thing is that the Lord is going to give you the thing that you've asked for, but you're not going to get it in the time that you think that you need it. You think that you need it now. And the Lord is saying, you need it. I agree with you. It's a good thing to have prayed for, but you're not getting it now. you're not getting it now. And, you know, so we meet with this scripture and we say, well, what does it mean, ask and you're going to get what you've asked for? It means if you ask rightly, if your intentions are pure, if your prayer is for the salvation of someone, and if they are wanting the same thing, it's a guarantee. But if you're fighting, how many times, you know, when you saw in the book of Acts where Peter or Paul or someone was being opposed, like the magician, and he, you know, he said, well, you're going to be blind for a while, you're going to walk around, so I'm going to lead you, because yeah, you want this or you want that, or somebody else wants to, you know, to buy the Holy Spirit, or someone want whatever it is, it's so important, it's so very, very important that you understand why things don't happen the way that you want. And think this, the Lord who died for each one of us, the most lowly, the most corrupt, the worst among us, he died for that person. He wants him to live. He wants him. But he cannot do for him what is necessary. That must be done on an individual level by yourself, or in conjunction with other people, that will lead you to the understanding that what you need is nothing that is material, nothing that is psychological, nothing that is emotional, but something that is real. The most real thing is to have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. So, you know, the Lord, after all the time that he had spent with the disciples, you know, he relives this in each one of us. We've all heard these stories before. If we've been in church for just the cycle of a couple of years, we've heard these words at least twice. So what impact has it made on us? What impact do these words that come from the Bible make on us? We just sit through them? You know, this is the boring part of the service. You know, I wish the priest would stop talking so much. Okay. But the point is that, not unlike us, but like humans have always been, we are slow when we have to give up something that we think that we've worked and earned and that is going to be very, very helpful for us to keep, when in fact it's not. In fact, it's not. The only thing after you read what Solomon had written, you know, he brought everything into the temple. He measured everything. He looked at everything. Everything that was in his mind he had brought into the temple. And what was the end result? The whole of the subject matter is to be able to live, to pray, and to worship. You know, there are such beautiful psalms that nobody ever reads about how creation itself sings joyfully to everyone. Creation, what does that mean, creation? It means the mountains, the sky, it means the oceans, it means the plains, it means the deserts, the big deserts, like the Gobi Desert. People think the desert in Africa is big, you should see the one in China. Look at these things. If you see the way that the wind will shape the mounds of sand, sometimes it's extremely beautiful. Extremely beautiful. The work of God himself is something to be praised. A lot of times we will look at something like, oh, the Disney Center, and we'll say, oh, that architect, boy, that guy was really unbelievable. You know, he's beyond everybody. I know he went, you know, Frank Gehry I'm talking about, in case you don't know. But architect of the year, or maybe the decade, or maybe the last 100 years, you know. I.M. Pei is another guy. He did the PEI. He did the Crystal Cathedral. And some other things. I mean, there's, and we that's so beautiful. The mind of this person that did this. The mind of the person who put rocks in the desert that when you split them open are beautiful and crystalline. They're called geodes. Just something like that. He just tossed those. Have you ever seen the little fish that are really in the depths? You have to go down and bring your own light source because the sun doesn't even go there, and see the things that are down there, that are alive, that have been alive since the beginning, that we are just now beginning to understand or see. The little lizards in the rainforests, all those little things that are so bright and beautiful, or the birds, the way they're plumed, all of those things. The creation speaks about the mind of the one who made us. And Jesus Christ is trying to say, look, you can have this relationship in the most deep possible way, and here is how you do it. Remember what I did and imitate me. Imitate me. And you do these things and everything will come to a beautiful conclusion. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of ages. Amen.